You know, ever since I discovered He-Man through the magic of midnight TV reruns, I've longed to grow my hair out, put on a little pink vest, and say that fabulous music was revealed to me the day I held aloft a shellac disc and said, "By the power of Grey-Gull!" Okay, well, maybe not. Let's just listen to this. What do you say we forget that?
I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. Better be ready about 8:30. Now, dearie, don't be late. I want to be there when the band starts playing. Remember when we get there, honey? 2 steps, I'm gonna have them all. Gonna dance off both my shoes when they play the Jelly Roll Blues. Tomorrow night at the Docktown Strutter's Ball.
Mata venga, bella. Quattro cinci, domani a sé, per le 8:30, tenim un appuntamento. Sotto basciamento è meglio che te va a trovare, che se no mi fanno guardare, facciamo una tarandella bella, domani a sera alle 8 a sera.
Taxi, honey, better be red by the 8:30. Now, dearie, don't be late. I want to be there when the band starts playing. Remember when we get there, honey? 2 steps, I'm going to have them all. I'm going to dance off both my shoes when they play the General Blues. Tomorrow night at the Downtown Strutter's Ball.
Ma te venga a pegliare con quattro cinci. Domani sera per le 8:30. Tenim un appuntamento sotto basciamento. Meglio che te va a trovare, che se no mi fan guidare. Facciamo una tarandella bella. Come tomorrow night at the Docktown Strutter's Ball.
My friend Glenn Robison, who many of you will know as host of Rapidly Rotating Records, put that record into my mind this past week. On his last program, he played Ted Lewis's recording of the Darktown Strutter's Ball as part of a whole set of Darktown songs, and I can't quite explain why, but it made me think of this particular choral record, number 61135, issued in early 1954 by, would you believe it, Lawrence Welk and his Champagne Music. The English lyrics sung there by Bob Lido, the Italian by Aladdin. That's what it says on the label. A great choral record, a lot of fun, and a good way to start off this early April edition of the Shellac Stack. And the opening, in case you didn't catch it, was kind of my tip of the hat to April Fool's Day, and about as close as I'm going to come to an April Fool's Day joke on this program. Don't worry, I have no intention of growing my hair out and dressing in little pink vests and saying, "By the power of Grey-Gull," but I will confess, on those rare occasions when I'm up until midnight and I happen to see the opening credits of He-Man, I do imagine him whipping out his sword and saying something to the effect of, "By the power of Grey-Gull," but alas, it hasn't happened yet. But I do think that fabulous music will be revealed to me and to you if you stay tuned through this edition of the Shellac Stack, including this very first record, which is something I wasn't really intending to play, but this afternoon I happened across an interesting website put up by Scott Black, a marvelous cornetist and a big Spiderbeck aficionado, and I wasn't aware that anybody considered this next record to be a potential big Spiderbeck candidate. It certainly doesn't show up in any of the books that I've read about Big Spiderbeck. It doesn't show up on any of the CD compilations. In fact, there's no reason why you would think that it would. This is a record by Jesse Crawford with an unnamed orchestra, unnamed studio orchestra. The Victor Ledgers indicated it's Leonard Joy directing. This was recorded May 7th, 1929 in New York City at the Paramount Theater. And Scott Black writes, It's amazing that there are those who claim to know what Bick sounds like and refuse to believe that he plays the solo on this record. Jesse Crawford himself years ago mentioned that Bick Spiderbeck recorded this selection with him. It wasn't said in a bragging manner, just a matter-of-fact statement, and he went on from there. If we skip down a little bit, Scott Black writes, "This is Bick Spiderbeck having fun, probably at Henry Bussey's expense, and throwing in his trademark calling card selection of notes to say to the ones who know, 'Hey, it's me, ha ha ha.'" So, whether you believe this is Bick's or not, and I'm not entirely decided either way, it does fit the chronology. We do know, as I said, that Bick's was in town in New York with Paul Whiteman's orchestra at this time. He had recorded China Boy with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra just a couple of days earlier and wouldn't leave town again until sometime a few weeks after this recording was made. So, is it Bick's? Is it not? Listen and see for yourself. Listen for the cornet solo that comes about two-thirds of the way through the record. Here's Jesse Crawford with Orchestra Victor 21981. Marvelous, marvelous Fats Waller tune. "I've Got a Feeling I'm Falling." Hudson DeLange Orchestra and a really nice swinging version of Stardust, recorded in New York March 10th, 1937, and issued on the master label number 125. That's a nice record. Before that, Jesse Crawford with orchestra, Victor 21981. And what did you think? Bix? No Bix? I'm not convinced either way. It was recorded May 7th, 1929, so the timing is right. We know Bix Beiderbecke was in New York when that was made, and it sounds like it could potentially be him. Randy Skretvedt and other biographers have noted that early 1929 was not the happiest time for Bix. He had tried to give up alcohol and suffered several rather violent episodes in the course of trying to give that up, involving a pretty nasty bar fight, not too terribly long before that record was made. So if he sounds a little out of form, we know Bix wasn't in the best of health at the time, but I'm not sure. It's a good record, either case. Really fine, fine record of I've Got a Feeling I'm Falling. Well, you're listening to the Shellac Stack, and if you have been listening much these past few weeks, you know that I've occasionally mentioned an Isham Jones CD reissue that I've been involved with. The disc is, I'm happy to say, now completely finished, and it has been released. It's called Shadows on the Swanee, 1932 to 1934, issued on the Rivermont label, and features about two dozen of Isham Jones's recordings for the Victor label at that time period, and, as an extra bonus, two tracks that have never before been issued from a rare home recording, one of those RCA Victor home recording discs discovered by my friend Kurt Weisbecker. Kurt wrote the notes for this and did the compilation, and it's a really, really fine set. I'm so pleased to have had a hand in putting it together. And, you know, several people have asked me how they might support the Shellac Stack program, and I don't openly seek donations to defray some of the expenses, but if you are so inclined to send some form of financial compensation for the program, I'd encourage you to just pick up a copy of the Isham Jones CD. The CD is called Shadows on the Swanee. It's Rivermont 1159. You can find it now at the Rivermont Records website, www.rivermontrecords.com, or just look for the link on the podcast page. I'll post a link to it there. It'll shortly be available from most other retail outlets like Amazon.com. So if you'd like to search for it, you can pick it up probably almost anywhere. But it's called Shadows on the Swanee. And to get you in the mood, I thought I'd play one selection from that CD. This is one of my favorites. It features Eddie Stone singing the vocal, Always in My Heart, Forever on My Mind.
On my mind. like a flame dying out in the rain. Only the ashes remain, smoldering like my silent
There's a singer, I'll admit, for years didn't do a whole lot for me, the British singer Anne Shelton. I have to say, though, recently, after finding a few of her London 78s from the late 1940s, her voice has really grown on me, and that record in particular I really, really like, that great Dana Suisse song, My Silent Love. When that record came out, it got pretty well panned in the Billboard. They said it was overproduced and I don't know, they just did not seem to like it, but I think it's a charming performance, beautifully arranged by Tutti Camerata, recorded in 1947 and issued on London 118. Nice tune, nice recording. Before that, Isham Jones and his orchestra from the new CD I produced, Shadows on the Swanee. We heard Always in My Heart, Forever on My Mind. And once again, if you have any interest in picking up your own copy of the Isham Jones CD, you can just visit the Rivermont Records website, where you can hear more samples from it, see a complete track listing, and place your order if you'd like to have one. We only pressed 500 copies, so it's a limited edition, so don't take too long, but I think you'd like it. Isham Jones and his orchestra, Shadows on the Swanee, it's called. Well, up next, I have a couple of recordings on that blue and white Liberty Music Shop label. This label that was active in the late 1930s and early 1940s put out a variety of fare, from sort of humorous comedy sketches to society dance music to out-and-out jazz. We're going to hear a couple of more polite-sounding medleys now. First, from September 18th, 1938, record number L245, we'll hear Emile Petty and his Cosmopolitans do A Melody Bouquet of Arthur Schwartz, which includes I Guess I'll Have to Change My Plan, Dancing in the Dark, and Louisiana Hayride. After that, we'll hear Edgar Fairchild, great pianist, with a rhythm section do a medley of tunes, I Know Now, So Rare, and The First Time I Saw You, that one from August of 1937. And I suppose I play these in response to my own comment a few weeks ago that you rarely seem to find medley records here in the United States. They were so popular in the 30s in England, but now I'm going to prove myself wrong and play a couple of them in a row. First, Emile Petty and his Cosmopolitans. Melody Bouquet of Arthur Schwartz. And there you have two medley records on the Liberty Music Shop label. First, L245 from September of 1938, Emil Petty and his Cosmopolitans with the Melody Bouquet of Arthur Schwartz. What a nice, sprightly arrangement of I Guess I'll Have to Change My Plan, Dancing in the Dark, and Louisiana Hayride. After that, pianist Edgar Fairchild and a marvelous little rendition of I Know Now, So Rare, and The First Time I Saw You, recorded in August of 1937. Now, the Liberty Music Shop label, in addition to recording a number of these society medleys, also specialized in, well, I guess you'd just call them comic monologues or little comedy sketches, and that's what I've got for you next. One more Liberty Music Shop record, and we'll hear both sides of this because it's a two-parter. It's called Mr. Edwin Karp in Fish Mimicry, and I'll confess it's not the funniest thing I've ever heard. In fact, I was a little confused when I listened through this for the first time. I bought it for relatively little money. I think I paid a dollar for this, and I didn't even know who Richard Hayden was. That's the performer on this next record. But as I played it, something about the voice struck me as awfully familiar. And rather than tell you who he was, in case you don't know, I'll play it for you and see if you can figure out where else you might have heard this speaker. So from 1940 now, Richard Hayden as Mr. Edwin Karp in Fish Mimicry, Liberty Music Shop number L285.
I want to introduce to you one of the strangest phenomena of the 20th century, the only living fish mimic, Mr. Edwin Karp. Mr. Karp, are you ready?
I'm Reddy's brother.
Oh, well, that's very useful. Perhaps you'll begin.
I stand before this magical microphone, the only natural fish mimic in the entire British Isles. There are, of course, other mimics, but none so completely natural as myself. I am married, having a wife and two children, and in passing it is interesting to note that they cannot imitate fish at all. In appearance, I am rising 63. Of medium stature, having whitish hair, a pointed face, glasses, and a fawn moustache. And looking at me, it is difficult to imagine why I have been endowed with this great gift. By great gift, I of course refer to my powers of fish mimicry, and not to my fawn moustache. In connection with my fawn moustache, it is interesting to note that the clarity of my upper register when imitating the common skate is entirely due to this appendage. After my first fish mimicking recital, a startled scientific world subjected my great gift to a searching examination, and it was discovered that the lifelike reproduction was caused by my fawn moustache, which, falling as it does, outwards and downwards to the extent of 1 1/8 inches, forms a sort of natural baffle board. I did not discover my great gift until, as you see, late in years. And the method of its discovery is in itself highly entertaining. To use the words of one great critic after my first recital, it does not seem possible in this day and age that such things can occur. Some 5 years ago, I was out shopping when an errand boy dropped a package upon my foot. As is natural under such circumstances, I cried out, inadvertently emitting the call of the gooby or sea squirt. And a well-known fishmonger who was passing on a bus got off and said, "That voice is a gold mine." My reply was, "What do you mean?" And over a cup of tea he told me. Since that day, my life has been one long extravaganza. Having decided to take up fish mimicry as a career, it is only natural that I should be beset by natural fears. but a voice inside me, not my fish-mimicking voice, but another one, said, "Go on, you have nothing to gain and everything to lose. Chance your own." And so, of course, I chanced it. When I decided to allow the world to share my great gift by going on the stage, my friends all said, "You must be mad. That life will kill you." My reply was, "Well, we will see." Since making my fish-mimicking debut, I have been classed by those in the know with such uncanny phenomena as the Colossus at Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and the Changing of the Guard. In reference to fish, I should like to explode a fallacy regarding dogs. It is an accepted idea that the dog is man's best friend, but believe me, this is all my eye and Betty Martin. A fish can be a better friend to man than all your dogs. I will now give you a demonstration of one of my most superhuman feats. I will imitate the call of the red-bellied gudgeon or blushing fish. This call is so high in the scale as to be completely inaudible to the human eardrum. Dogs can hear it, however, as their eardrums are highly sensitive. And it is also audible to a certain Mrs. Phelps, a lady friend of mine, who lives on the Norfolk Broads, and who has been endowed, through some caprice of Mother Nature, with the eardrums of an elk hound. I will now give the call of the red-bellied gudgeon, or a blushing fish, and although you will hear practically nothing, I advise you to watch the expression on your dog's face, should you chance to have him or her with you. Now, would you please listen carefully and watch your dog's faces? Are you ready? Are your dogs ready? I must insist upon a deathly hush. There, amazing, is it not?
Now, even though I've recently begun watching episodes of the original Twilight Zone series, now that it's out on Blu-ray, and although I saw this actor in a Twilight Zone episode called A Thing About Machines, I didn't recognize him from that. And although he was in The Sound of Music and Young Frankenstein, other movies I've seen and enjoyed, I didn't recognize him from those either. No, what I recognized this voice from, and maybe you did too, was the Caterpillar in Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland. Same guy. Richard Hayden there, and a thing called Mr. Edwin Karp in Fish Mimicry, Parts 1 and 2, recorded in 1940. Well, the next record I have for you is definitely an obscurity. This is a label I haven't even really seen before, Pennant Records, from 1955, Pennant number 329. And I'll admit, I bought this record solely because I wanted to be able to play it on this program and announce the name of the performer, because it's just so much fun to say. This is Mr. JoJo Spoons with Backroom Joe and the Boys. A thing on the label called Play It Again, but you'll recognize it as the popular tune Dixie. So now, let me say it one more time. Actually, why don't you say it with me? It's so much fun. Ready? One, two, three. Mr. JoJo Spoons. And here it is. Play it again.
until you wear a smile. So wear a smile the whole day long. A shine on your shoes is all right in its place, but how about a great big smile to shine up your face? You're never dressed up until you wear a grin. Remember that a frown is out of style. Now you can look your best, and you're not really dressed until you wear a smile. Let's see that smile. Wear it all day long. You get a shine for your shoes. Put a shine on your face. Come on and see that grin. A frown is out of style. You can't look your best, and you're really not dressed until you wear a smile, smile, smile. Dressed up until you wear a smile. Remember when you rise and shine. A smile in the morning will make you look smart, and you will start the day off with a song in your heart. You're never dressed up unless you wear a grin. Remember that a frown is out of style. You'd better wake up, because you're never dressed up until you wear a smile. Better wake up, because you're never dressed up until you wear a smile.
If Billboard magazine is any indication, I must have terrible taste in music, because that's another record that, when it was originally released back in 1950, garnered terrible reviews in the Billboard. They rated records on a 100-point scale, assessing their musical value and viability in everything from jukeboxes to radio airplay, and a pretty decent score would have been something in the 60s or 70s or maybe even 80s. That record scored about a 47 in almost every category, which is pretty, pretty bad. I like it, though. That's Paul Sears and Johnny Hamer, an old vaudeville-style thing called You're Never Dressed Up Until You Wear a Smile. In fact, even the Billboard reviewer acknowledged that it owed something to the style of Van and Skank. That's MGM record number 10883, and I like it, so help me. Just like I like that Ann Shelton record earlier that also got a pretty poor review in the Billboard. Anyway, before that it was Mr. JoJo Spoons with Backroom Joe and the Boys, a Pennant record from 1955 called Play It Again, which doesn't say anywhere on the label the real title. You probably recognize that as Dixie. Well, one good MGM record deserves another, or maybe one bad MGM record deserves a good one. Here's Blue Baron and his orchestra, and a 1950 recording issued on MGM 10628. You'll probably know this from the version Elvis Presley recorded about 10 years later. I knew it was an old song when Elvis recorded it. What I didn't originally know when I first heard Elvis sing it was that he even stole the little spoken part towards the end of the song, which we'll hear spoken here by Franklin McCormack, longtime radio announcer. Anyway, you'll recognize this. Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Are you lonesome? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day? I kissed you and called you sweetheart. To the chairs in your parlor, seem empty and bare. Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage, and each must play a part. Fate had me play a lover with you as my sweetheart. Act one was where we met. I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly, you never missed a cue. Then came act two, and you seemed to change. You acted strange. Why, I've never known. Then came the day you went away and left me all alone. If you lied when you said you loved me, I had no cause to doubt you. For I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. The stage is bare and I'm standing there in the part of a broken clown. And if you won't come back to me, then they can ring the curtain down.
Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
My wife, who's a big fan of the Elvis Presley version of that tune, was dismayed when she learned that Elvis had even stolen the little monologue in the middle from an earlier version, but you know, I have to say, I think Elvis did it better. That's Blue Baron and his orchestra, featuring Franklin McCormick delivering the monologue on Are You Lonesome Tonight from 1950. And that brings us towards the end of this Stack O Shellac. I want to thank you for joining me for 78 RPM Records on this edition of the Shellac Stack, and I hope you'll tune in and log on again next time for more 78 RPM Records from my collection. In the meantime, I welcome your questions, comments, suggestions, or other feedback or requests. You can send it to me by email. Address your message to shellacstack@gmail.com. That's shellacstack@gmail.com. Or just visit my website at shellacstack.com or briansright.com and click on the contact form to send me a message that way. And I'd love to hear from you, and I'll do my best to respond. And if you have any requests, I'll try to get those in the weeks to come. But now, since we had one record by a blue band leader, Blue Baron and his orchestra, let's finish with another blue band leader. How many more can you name? This is Blue Steel and his orchestra from August of 1927, recorded in Savannah, Georgia, of all places. Sounding mighty fine, although I wish my copy of this were in a little bit better shape. It's such a terrific record in so many respects. Alas, I've come and gone through probably three or four copies of this, all of them in pretty terrible shape. This one I've cleaned up as best I could. It's Victor 20971. Sugar Babe, I'm leaving. Don't worry, I'll be back. I'll see you next time for more records on the Shellac Stack. Until then, take care.
how much I've been by my own side. I ain't crying like a wake over here.
Sugar babe, I'm leaving, and I'm glad to be gone. Don't you think I'm grieving, or you treated me wrong? You thought I'd be crying, but I'm singing a song. You believe you could have your way, you might have known it would end someday. No more am I the fallen guy, just taking your cue. I'm gonna sing you bye-bye blues. I've just been your plaything, but now I'll have my way. Sugar babe, I'm leaving you.
Sugar babe.